I hate talking. I hate preaching or anything like that. Pardon me? Guys, I do it, first of all, because I love you guys. No, that's second. I really don't like public speaking. I can't stand it.
Friday night.
Makes me super nervous. I do talk for a long time, though, only because, first, the Lord asked me to do it, so I can't argue with that. Second of all, I love you guys, man. I would do it for you guys. See?
Lies!
See, it's going to get romantic in here. But when Wally asked, right away, I knew what I want to talk about. God has really put something heavy on my heart for the men of your generation. And it's the subject of real men. You know, what a real man looks like, what's expected of him, what it takes to be real men. And I spent much time praying over this and meditating on it. And I came up with an idea of, you know, at least the way I can sum it up, is that a real man knows that anything of any true worth or value in life, whether it be chasing a dream, an ambition, you know, a special lady, whatever it is, it's going to come at a cost. Anything that's worth anything, a price has to be paid, or it's worth nothing. So a real man, like I really did meditate on this, I feel like a real man will recognize and then weigh a cost, you know, over something that they're hoping to obtain or achieve, that great thing of value. A real man will just say, or at least evaluate the cost and determine whether or not the price can be paid, whether or not they're willing or even capable of paying that price. If a man is willing and capable of paying that price for that great thing of worth, they commit themselves to it and to that challenge, to achieving that thing. You know, because anything worth anything is worth fighting for. I think everybody here knows that. But if a real man knows that they can't afford to pay the price of something, the risk is too high, I believe that a real man will have the wisdom and the strength and courage to turn away from that thing before they get too deep. That's where mistakes happen. Now, this morning I was with guys that were in our first breakout group this morning. We talked a little bit about King David. Awesome, godly man in Scripture. One of the best examples of real men, I think we could all agree. He says something. It's one of my favorite portions of all Scripture. He says something that just displays, like, you know, the quality of real manliness, as far as I could see it. He has this opportunity to make an offering or a sacrifice. It's a burnt offering to God, just a form of worship. And sacrifice. We know that sacrifices are made at an expense, right? They're going to cost us something. And a sacrifice in those days was usually giving up the best of your flock, the best of what it is that you had, sacrificing that to God. So it was truly a sacrifice. It was a personal loss, in a sense. So David is about to make an offering to the Lord. And then a guy who loves the king sees David's about to make this offering. He's just like, King David, I've got everything you need to make this offering, and I'll spare you the cost. I want to gift you with this. And then David says something that I just think is awesome. In 2 Samuel 24:24, he says, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. See, King David knew that principle, that anything that's worth anything, a price has to be paid. So in David's case, when he's about to make this offering, and the guy offers him everything that he needs for free, if David took that gift and then offered it to the Lord, whose sacrifice really would it be? It wouldn't have been David's. It would have been the other guy's. David recognized that, and I know that the other guy was just trying to bless the king. And good man. And I think that we can all look at this verse and recognize, you know, we're men, right? We got the hearts of lions here. There's honor there. Something about that just seems so right. I think we could all see it.
Hello?
So, is it the president coming? This principle here, you know, we know that, like, this is kind of, I think this is a rare principle nowadays. Today, men are generally not operating by that kind of principle. I think today, what we've kind of traded this for something where we want whatever it is that we want at the least possible cost. You know, if we could get it for free or at least weasel the best possible deal, all of a sudden we start patting ourselves on the back, saying, man, we're smart, we're good barterers, good negotiators, and even commended nowadays for getting the best possible deal that you could get, even if it means you're shortchanging the other guy or cheating him. What once was that? That good principle of, you know, being able to, you know, be a man, pay the cost, give what's fair all the way around, everyone's happy. Now we're really trying to just get whatever it is we want for nothing, or as close to nothing as possible. Now, I don't believe that anybody here would literally set out for that purpose of, you know, getting what they want and cheating the other guy for it. I don't think anybody here would really want to do that. But I do think that it does happen. I think that we've probably, many of us have all done that. Probably because we're not thinking of the other person or what they're entitled to or what they deserve. We're just thinking more about what we want. And we all know that if we spend less time thinking about ourselves and more about what's fair all the way around, I think we'd be a little less selfish in our pursuits. Now today, this is where it's like it's a passion of mine. I think men are in danger today because they're failing to recognize that the cost has to be paid to just be real men. Guys, you guys, we're all born men. When we were born with the responsibility that it's going to cost us something to be real men, to operate by that kind of honor. It'll come at a cost. But I think somewhere along the line, I think my own generation is very largely responsible for this. I think we're sacrificing that code of honor, and we're tarnishing the name of or the image of real men. There was once like such a sense of pride of being an honorable man. You know, my grandfather, he was an honorable guy, and I think about that guy. I beam with pride at the kind of man my grandfather was. I'm not half the man he was. I'm working on it. But men nowadays, this makes my blood boil. They're seen as useless, lazy, good for nothing, beer drinking slobs, watch TV all day. No work ethic. No ability to parent or raise children. No sense of responsibility. Like, ask my wife, she'll tell you, I throw stuff at the TV sometimes, or I scream at it like it can hear me. I'll put on some kind of TV show, or the commercials are famous for this. How many times have you seen some idiot male screwing up the most simplest task on TV? It's like a joke, right? Like some guy is screwing up something colossally, and then a woman has to come in. She's the only one with brains in the relationship. She's got to clean up his mess. Like, it started off as a joke, I'm sure, at one point in time, but I think that now it's becoming widely accepted as truth, and I feel bad for the young guys growing up in this, because a lot of women, men, even ourselves, we think that this is kind of, it's just, we're men, we're kind of idiots, you know, we're kind of oafy, like oafs or whatever. We're almost accepting it ourselves sometimes. Or at least I'm a bit guilty of that. These stereotypes are telling people that the world's going to fall apart if left in the hands of a man because he's worthless or unintelligent, incapable. I'm not okay with that, guys. I don't know if, I'm pretty sure you guys aren't either. And like I said, I do believe that my generation is very much responsible for this. I think it's getting worse as the generations go. But my hope is, talking to you guys will turn this around and make it right again. But talking largely about my generation, but there are many men here among your age that are guilty of this as well. So I'm going to say men in general. You know, we've taken no responsibility for any of our actions, or you know, few of our actions anyways. We've taken sex from women with no intent of marriage or commitment. Why? Because we want it. Right? We don't even think for a second that sex involves another person and all the baggage we're willing to heap on ourselves. By you just getting into a sexual relationship, you're willing to heap all that same crap that you're willing to accept in your own life onto someone else. With no intent for commitment or marriage or anything like that. We've taken no pride in our work. You know, how many guys here have, you know, called in sick just because they need the time off, you know, or, you know, hang out with your buddies or whatever? Right? You're lying. I'm sick today. Can't come in. Stealing office supplies, whatever it is.
No, it's just work. They got millions of dollars.
And then you take your pencils or whatever. Seems small, but it, you know, it's stealing. Like this one, I'm kind of a bit of a, or at least I've encountered this. I'm not going to say I'm a victim, but I've encountered this. You know, we've created a generation of children growing up without fathers. Right? And it works the other way around, too. There's single fathers out there. But it tends to be generally the mothers who are left to raise kids. Growing up with fathers, there are those who, you know, parents have abandoned you, flat out abandoned you because they couldn't take responsibility for the choices that they made. But it seems to be, you know, the general norm that women are raising children without fathers. Mothers are forced to work, taking them away from their, you know, their mothering duties so that they can pay the bills and put food on the table because the absent fathers will not assume any kind of responsibility to pay the finances for the choices they made, their own children. This is resulting in young men growing up doomed, practically doomed to repeat the same mistakes as their fathers. Because they have a lack of real men in their lives to show them the true way, a better way, how to be a real man. It's also women growing up thinking that their only true worth, that their only value, is in being physically appealing to men. Like, that really bothers me. God opened my eyes to that because I had no respect for women when I was younger. And when God opened my eyes to see that He thinks women are precious and pure, I have a responsibility to protect that in the women in my life. Now that I'm a father of a daughter, man, it's exponentially mushroom cloud exploding. Now, I am speaking pretty generally here, and there are always exceptions. There are always going to be, you know, men that, you know, the remnant, real men, that will do the best they can to try to cope with their mistakes, make things right. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what real men do. All the power to them. But generally speaking, the future kind of looks a tiny bit grim for men at the moment, because it's a vicious cycle, right? Young men are growing up in this, and they're not learning a better way. We've all made mistakes, but mistakes only remain that way if they go uncorrected. A true man is willing to see and admit their mistakes in order so that they can be corrected. A true man knows that there are consequences for his actions, and are willing to accept those consequences, even after they've done everything to correct that mistake, and consequences still remain. Guys, I when I came to the Lord, I literally tried to correct everything that I could. You know, if it was in my power to make it right, I would. There's one mistake that looms over my head that I'm in no place to make right. And I pray, this tortures me. Because there's a guy out there that... I cheated the guy. And it's before I knew the Lord. And this guy is out to get me. The guy's a raging atheist. And now that I'm a Christian, this guy's after me 10 times more now. I'm in no place to correct that wrong as of yet. And I'm praying, God, give me the opportunity to make that right. Because that's the one mistake that I can't shake. See, recognizing that we have a responsibility to face our mistakes and then handle it properly, this takes wisdom first to recognize that, yes, I've made a mistake here and it needs to be corrected. It takes humility to be able to admit that you've made a mistake. You know, guys, red-blooded guys hate, you know, admitting they've made a mistake and whatever. I know I do. But you got to humble yourself and be willing to admit your mistake and then make it right. Well, and then responsibility, right? That's where the responsibility comes in. You got to be, you have the wisdom to recognize your mistake, the humility to accept that and be willing to deal with it, the responsibility to deal with it. Now, Scripture tells a story about a guy that possessed all those qualities, wisdom, humility, responsibility in tremendous measure. I love this story. It's found in 2 Kings of your Bibles, chapter 22 and 23. Guys, as men, get to know this story. And man, this is a shining example of what it takes to be a man. King Josiah. I was so moved by this guy's life story, I named my second-born son after him. Josiah was a child who inherited the throne of Judah, became king at the age of 8. His father, the previous king, was assassinated. And this nation that he inherited as an eight-year-old was an absolute mess. They had fallen away to like pagan worship, idol worship, crazy stuff. They, like the whole nation had turned away from God. Josiah inherits this. So the nation's a mess. And he's king, 8 years old. So he's growing up in this kind of environment. But then what does the Bible say about Josiah growing up in this environment? It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, King David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Josiah had tunnel vision, and at the end of that tunnel was the Lord and his will, and Josiah was committed and not willing to take his eyes off of that goal, you know, fulfilling the will of God in his life. See, this was a man whose heart wholeheartedly belonged to God. So now, this story, the reason why I use this story is he was 18 years old when he changed his world. Right, you guys are all in or around that age. So Josiah, he's 18 years old, and he's kind of surveying his kingdom. He notices something. The holy temple of God is kind of falling apart. It's been neglected for who knows how long. So he sees that this temple is kind of slanted, and he wants to fix, you know, hire guys to repair this and fix this temple. So he hires a group of people, sends them in. So while these guys are doing some renovations, they find what the scriptures call the book of the law, coated in dust. They pick it up, blow all the dust off the wall. What is this thing? Book of the law. Scholars believe that this thing was actually the book of Deuteronomy in your Bibles. So they find this holy book, and they bring it right away to King Josiah. They're like, Joey, look what we found. And then he picks this thing up, and he's like, interesting. Can you guys read it to me? So they read the Bible to him. And just upon hearing this, he learns right away that this book of the law is describing a covenant made between God and his people. It talks about great reward and blessing that God wants to pour out and lavish on these people as they remain in obedience to him and to this covenant. And this book of the law also talks about the tragic consequences that will come from turning away from this covenant, from abandoning it. So just hearing of the consequences that were to come, Josiah, he knows right away, ping, light goes off. He's just like, our nation is not living at all in accordance to what's being mentioned here in this covenant. And he just, in his shock, he's like, the wrath of God is coming or it is upon us. He tears his robes, which is like a sign of like great anguish and distress. Like he had a hard time being faced with this truth. And immediately, he tells his priests and officials, go to the prophets, talk to God, and get word back. I need to hear what the Lord has to say about this. This is what the Lord says. Oh, sorry, this is what Josiah says to his officials. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written concerning us. See, we see right here that just upon hearing God's word, Josiah, boom, moves to action. He heard God's word once, by the way. Moves to action. And when Josiah hears that message back, the message is grim. The prophets pass along the word of God to Josiah. And the word is that Judah, his nation, has forsaken God. They have turned away from God and that covenant for idol worship. They've decided to like abandon the one true God and start worshiping idols. And in that day, they were worshiping like objects that they carved with their own hands out of wood and stone and metals. But guys, idol worship is rampant today in our world too. I think we know this. It looks different. Instead of stone idols, statues, whatever, altars and making sacrifices of that, we're worshiping money, lust, sex, substances, materials, power, ourselves. Ultimately, that's worshiping ourselves. But it's idol worship any way you slice it. But Josiah, right in that moment, recognizing the horrific disobedience of his people, he assumes responsibility. And he says, I can't just sit here. You know, I'm in a place of influence and power to make these things right. So Josiah literally gets moved to action. And God says that punishment is going to be coming to this nation, but something happens here. Because Josiah was wise enough, humble enough, and responsible enough to take action here, God shows mercy to Josiah and the nation of Judah, saying that the punishment will not come in Josiah's lifetime. Right, that was grace and mercy and blessing on Josiah's life there. So what happens next is almost like unbelievable. It's written in the Bible. We talked about this morning. The Bible says that it's absolutely true. And so the Bible describes the scene. I'm a pretty visual guy, so the way I picture it, it's pretty epic. But Josiah gathers. First thing he does is when he hears back from the Lord, he gathers his entire nation from the greatest to the least, the Bible says, all in one place. He assembles them, and he himself, the king, stands before them and reads this book of the law, the book of the covenant, to the people of Judah, so that they too can hear the word of the Lord, probably for the first time, most of them, and then recognize and assume responsibility for their sin. He gave them the same opportunity that they had. Now, Josiah, he had already made up his mind. He was going to repent for the sins that he didn't know that, he probably didn't know the extent of the sin that was in his own life or in his nation, but he assumed responsibility anyways. Remember, he inherited that nation. He didn't start the fire, right? He just inherited this. So Josiah reads the word publicly to the entire nation, and then in humility, the guy repents publicly, saying, I pledge myself new to you, Lord, and your covenant. So the people, they see this, and they see their leader. I believe this could happen today if one of our leaders had the balls, where we're men, we can say that, to literally do the same thing Josiah did. Josiah had the courage to admit his mistakes publicly, falls to his knees, repents, and then the people, they're so moved by it too that they publicly pledge themselves new and afresh to the same covenant. So Josiah didn't just stop there. He didn't say, okay, well, God, I'm sorry. You know, we'll try to do better next time. No, he just rolls up his sleeves. He's like, okay, now we're going to get to work. He looks around and he sees shrines and temples and temple prostitutes and priests and false priests and places of worship. He sets out to not only destroy these things, he pulverizes them and grinds some of these things to dust, literally. Then he takes the priests who endorse temple worship and idol worship, all this kind of stuff, false idol worship. And he takes these guys and he sacrifices them upon their own altars that they were offering to their pagan gods. So Josiah was like absolutely dead serious about doing everything in his power to make things right. So he did. He did everything that he humanly possibly could to live according to that covenant that he just pledged himself new and afresh to again. Now the results were nationwide and like staggering. His humility and willingness to be used by God sparks revival throughout the entire nation that lasted through the entire reign of his kingdom. I think I'd be guesstimating here. It's probably about 30, 31 years or something like that. Now Josiah leaves me. Because of that, he was a real man. And like this guy's a hero of mine. And because he was the way he was, he leaves behind a legacy that we celebrate, we remember with honor today. The Bible has this to say about the legacy he leaves behind. It says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. He heard the word of God, he knew where he went wrong, and he did everything in his strength, his soul, anything in his heart to make it right. This guy meant business. How would you like something like this written about you? You know, as your legacy, your epitaph or eulogy. This is written about Josiah and the holy word of God, which will never perish, past, present, or future. This is recorded forever. It's a big deal if you think about it. God wanted to make sure that Josiah's legacy, you know, is carved by the holy finger of God in eternal stone. Now, the crazy thing is like any one of us could be the same kind of man and accomplish the same kind of thing if only we were willing to pay the price, because the cost is so great to be this kind of man. If we were willing to pay that cost the way Josiah did, and who's to say what the Lord could do in our lives? See, we all hear those stories, Braveheart, great movie, you know, William Wallace, and just awesome story. We all want, I think, unless I'm going to be a little transparent, vulnerable here, but I think I'm speaking for most guys here, if not all. We all want those glorious life stories to be remembered with honor and, you know, as heroes. We want to be the heroes to our loved ones, at least. But that kind of glory that comes only from God is placed on people who are willing to pay the ultimate price to serve the Lord. We know that to be a real man, the cost is often great. Few are so actually willing to pay that price. That's why the image of mankind is the way it is today. Because when things get a little tough, the kitchen gets a bit hot, men split. So many guys will talk, man, I got what it takes. You know, I'm a man's man. Like, we think that, to be arrogant and cocky, you know, that's to be a man. But it's the absolute opposite that's true. You know, it's humility. Humility is what it takes to be a man. See, like Josiah had those qualities: wisdom, humility, and responsibility. We need to ask ourselves, you know, like, be honest with yourselves. Like, Josiah was 18 years old. Do you guys have what it takes? If you were in the same shoes that Josiah was in, you know, would you have operated as honorably as he did? I wouldn't have at 18 years old. I'm not sure if I have it in me now. I'd like to think, yeah, man, I got what it takes. But I don't know, man. We need to be honest with ourselves and ask, do I have the wisdom it takes to be a man? Wisdom to know how to live and how to handle life's challenges? Do I have the wisdom I need to recognize life's warnings and pitfalls in life and avoid those things before I make serious lifelong mistakes? Josiah's quick response and immediate action says so much about his character. He was so wise for his age. Guys, I can't, when I remember, the guy's 18 years old, I think of like some like wizard, long hair, super wise and flowing beard, and like wisdom that comes with just age. This guy was 18 years old. Anyone 18 here? Stephon, man. 18 years old. Blows my mind. He was so wise for his age. If we asked ourselves now, like if maybe you're 16, 2 years before you get to Josiah's age, if you guys don't have the wisdom that you think that Josiah had now, God's word says all we need to do is ask for it and he will give it to us. Now, I do believe that if we say, Lord, in Jesus' name, give me wisdom, he could just go zap and then give you wisdom. But in my experience, any time that I've ever asked for wisdom, God's provided an opportunity for me to exercise wisdom. And, man, I'm slow. It takes me sometimes. I got to do things a few times. But like, so wisdom, in my experience, tends to grow in... only Ted that describes it. But wisdom grows through experience and time. And like in my own experience, it's taken time for me to cultivate any kind of wisdom I need to do the right thing. So if we don't have the wisdom tonight... man, it'll probably take more time to get the wisdom we're going to need to be this kind of man. So we should set ourselves to it now. Ask for wisdom tonight and start succeeding in life's challenges. Josiah was humble. Like I just mentioned a moment ago, like we think that to be a man, you just got to be arrogant and just pump yourself up like crazy, especially when the girls are around. But the opposite is the truth. Humility. Like, we live in a world where people think that humility is weakness. Right? Like Che Guevara. I read something once that he said, and I'm very loosely quoting it. Everyone know who Che Guevara is? He's like...
savior of Cuba.
Pardon me?
Savior of Cuba.
Yeah, he's like, this guy was like a militant, dictator kind of guy, violent man. He said... pretty much, in a nutshell, very loosely quoted, so don't quote me, but he said something about Jesus going to the cross as being being an ultimate weakness. He said, I would have never have let myself be caught. I would have never have let myself be nailed to a cross and made fun of. He's like, they would have had to take me dead because I would have fought to the bitter end. There's no way that they would have nailed my body that had life in it to a cross. But as a Christian, if our eyes have been open to the truth of the gospel, we know that it took strength we can't even fathom to be God of the universe, to lay down his life, our Savior lay down his life, and allow himself by his own creation to be nailed to a cross. That's strength that hurts my brain thinking about it. Humility is synonymous with strength, right? It's not weakness. Like, if we want to be real men, we got to start getting humble. Because that's true strength. Ask yourself, do I have the humility that I need to recognize my weakness, my mistakes, your need for a Savior? Right? Some people here may not have made the choice to allow Jesus Christ into your life. Guys, there's nothing I did in my life that was more difficult than that. I thought I was giving up my life. I thought I was losing everything so that Jesus could be the Savior of my life. Like, I laugh about it now, but it was true. I was scared to death at making the choice to hand my life over to Christ. It took so much strength for me to just fall to my knees and say, Lord, take my life, whatever that means. I trust you with it because you have my ultimate good in mind. Like, to be honest, like, I get the chills thinking about it because it's like I remember how that felt. I didn't know if I was like laying my life down for death or life or what. But I will say that one action that I did, I'm reaping blessings that I can spend the rest of the week telling you guys about for making that one decision. Amen. Guys, there's no better decision you could make. Ask yourself if you can humble yourselves in accordance to God's word to live by. We know as Christian men, God has a standard. We have a responsibility as men to live by that standard. Guys, blessing comes from that too. Josiah was so incredibly humble, recognizing the errors of his people. He inherited those sins and mistakes from his forefathers. But he didn't try to hide anything or cover it up or say to himself, not my problem. Right? He had every power and authority to be able to do that, just to pass it off to somebody else. But he doesn't do that. He just says, we as a people, he knew he was their king, whether he was responsible for the mistakes or not, which he wasn't. He didn't cause the mistakes is what I mean. He said he assumed responsibility as their leader. He said, we've made grave mistakes. And he didn't say, now we are all going to make this right. He said, I'm going to do everything in my power to make this right. And then in broken humility and repentance, the guy reads the word of God so that these people could hear it and be shown their errors, probably, maybe even for the first time in their lives. Now, what I got to say is, like, guys, most of the people here are in or around the age of Josiah. There's so many of us here who have heard the word of God several times a week for years on end, and we still haven't yet been moved to action. Josiah heard it once, and the guy couldn't live with himself until he did something. Responsibility. Josiah, just shows so much responsibility in his actions. And the sad truth is, responsibility is growing increasingly rare, especially among your generation. I know my generation is largely at fault for that, but it's growing worse as generations go on. See, being a real man means accepting the cost that's going to come with it, and it will cost to be a real man. God never said it would be easy. Being a man never is. I think we're all getting a taste of that, and it gets harder a lot of the times. Sometimes it feels impossible. That's when we got to know that, man, we only stand a chance at being real men with the Lord, because only He can make things that are impossible possible. And if we are just willing to step out like Josiah did, man, like Josiah, what's crazy is you read God's word, not once was he motivated by any kind of reward. Josiah just didn't say, okay, go ask prophets, go talk to the prophets, and see what God will do for me if I correct this big problem here. I just need some incentive. He never did that. He was presented with a problem, and he said, I got to deal with this right away. And not for any kind of reward or anything, but simply because it was the right thing to do, and he had the influence and the power to do it. Now, God is a loving, gracious, merciful, blessing Father, and he blessed the pants off of Josiah for his actions. He was blessed. He found favor among men. His legacy is, unmatched. And if we too are willing to do what Josiah did, pay the price that he paid, then we too can get those same blessings and honor and favor in life that only come through the Lord. Now, guys, it's true. At the moment, the image of men is kind of tainted right now. But I do see, I kind of mentioned it earlier. I hate speaking publicly or anything like that. I do that because God called me to do it. That's a part of the cost in my life. I didn't eat dinner tonight because if I ate dinner, I'd get sick before speaking to you guys. But I do it every week because the Lord asked me to do that. I've spent years of my life trying to run from Him, and it only got me in worse trouble. And I've learned, if anything, that better listen to God. I do it His way, as close to the first time as possible. It'll be much easier if it goes that way. But the second thing is, it's like, I love you guys. If I could spare anybody from making mistakes that I made, then I'll do that. That's part of the cost that I deal with. So every Friday or whatever it is that I put together a message, I'm really doing something that goes against my natural grain. As much as I talk, I don't really like doing it. There's other reasons for it. But I do believe that you guys are the generation that's going to turn it around. It's been my honor and my pleasure as being a youth pastor for only a couple years. I've seen that you guys you guys got the potential and the influence to turn around everything that's wrong with the way the world sees men. You guys are going to change it. I totally believe that. But it's going to come at a cost. I just want you guys to recognize there will be a cost. It's not going to be easy. It'll probably get worse. But the blessings are going to be great. You guys are going to be great fathers, great husbands, great leaders, great men. Now, I know it's my hope and prayer, as I'm sure it is all of your youth pastors, your youth leaders, all the men that have lived godly lives and experience that you guys haven't had yet. I know it's our prayer that each of you guys recognizes the responsibility that you guys all carry to be God's men in these dark days. You guys could very well be the last generation of men before the Savior comes back. If that's the case, then the responsibility that rests on your shoulders, the Apostle Paul wishes he was born in these days so that he could do the work that God has reserved for you guys to do. You guys are going to do great things. I want you guys to all be able to live your lives, live them well. You know, if the Lord waits long enough for all of us before He returns, you know, for all of us here to live long, healthy, blessed lives. I hope that it's every young guy here will say at the end of their life when they ran the race, ran it well, lived well, you guys will say, I did not offer the Lord anything that costed me nothing. I didn't try to weasel a better deal. I knew the cost, and I paid the price. I was willing to do it or die trying. You guys will do everything to the best of your abilities. You know, work. Guys, and I want to stress, I know what it's like to be your age. I just want to say you guys have a God-given responsibility at your age right now to protect the purity of the women in your lives right now. Guys, keep them pure. Keep yourselves pure. Keep them pure. And you also have the God-given responsibility to protect the children that are in your lives. Those younger than you who are looking to you guys for protection. We'll all answer for that one day. We've all been discouraged enough, I think, as men. Many of us have fallen victim to the devil's attempts to rob us of our manhood. It's time to take back what's rightfully yours. I believe you guys are going to do that. Take back the image that is rightfully yours. Right, that image of being real men, because that's the image of God that He burned into your souls with holy fire. That's who He made you guys to be. It's His image that rests on you guys. Now, that's pretty much all I've got to say for you guys. It's an honor getting to spend this weekend with you guys and getting to hang out with it. These guys here, good guys, these young guys, they took care of my boys today. No one asked them to do it, but they did it. Man, that's stepping up and that's being responsible.
Yeah.
Good job. The future is bright for men, and it's because of you guys. So I just want to close in a word of prayer, but I'm going to ask. I didn't really check. I wanted to check with the youth leaders and everything, but I'm sure they're not going to argue about it. I was going to ask if you guys could kind of line up at the back there, because I want every man here today to be able, you know, before this weekend's over, and we still got lots of more fun, you know, to have. The Lord is still at work. I just want every person to just approach one of these godly men. Because you know what? Yeah, I've been speaking really generally about how men look like crap right now in the world today. Man, there is a remnant of real men, and your youth leaders are them. And it's these guys. Look to these guys as an example too. So I want the godly men that have lived lives of real men I want you guys to be able to go to them, whoever you feel comfortable with, and not to confess anything or any kind of counseling, but just to receive a prayer of blessing from one real man to another. So, and I, like, you guys don't have to take part or anything like that, but I really encourage you guys to do that. We are the body of Christ, and like Kevin was saying, man, being a part of the church, which is the body of Christ, this is one of the blessings that we can all share. Guys, receive a blessing today from one of these godly men. I really encourage you guys to do that. So I'll kind of play some mood music. Whatever. I tried to find some good worship songs with some manly dudes singing. But I didn't have any in my own personal collection. That's French for collection. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this group of men, this generation of men. God, when I think about King David and he had his mighty men, Lord, that he counted on for the most difficult tasks, for the most difficult opposition and challenges. God, I pray that you raise up every man in this room here to be your mighty men. Lord, that when you have something that needs to be done, you can count on these men. Lord, when you have an enemy that's rising up that needs to be put down, Lord, you count on these men. That, Lord, when you need to raise up more men so that they too can see the way to being real men, that you use these men to show them. God, I pray that you raise up such a generation of young men that it just forever changes the way the world sees men. God, I pray for each man here, Lord, that they will be incredible fathers. Fathers unlike the world is known. Amazing husbands. Amazing leaders, spiritual leaders, and just manly leaders. Lord, I pray that you make them your mighty men. God, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that you just set every heart here on fire. Lord, give them the heart of lions, that they just God, they can't be stopped to please you. Lord, we all wait for that day where you just look down on beaming with the pride of a father saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I just... Lord, I thank you for that. We long for that day. May we make you proud, Lord. Thank you for making us men. Thank you, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. See one of your leaders, guys, and be blessed. Be blessed.